It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome aboard. It's been another difficult week in America as we all deal with the coronavirus epidemic. Several states, especially West Coast states and New York, have really been feeling the effects not only of the stay-at-home orders and shutdowns of most businesses, but of the coronavirus and the sickness itself. Other states, like Wyoming and South Dakota, where we have listeners, have not felt the full effects of both the business closures and the illness, too, due to the rural nature of these places. But I think it's fair to say life has changed for everyone to some degree, though it does go on with most of America, where turkey hunting seasons are getting underway, as well as opportunities to fish in both the fresh and salt water for a variety of species. Bass, walleye, crappie, and trout in particular are getting a lot of attention right now, unless, of course, you live in my home state of Washington, where fishing has been shut down and might not be open again for several more weeks. Is this action really necessary by Washington? I mean, can 49 other states be wrong to offer outdoors recreation as a means of coping with the stress of the virus? I'm biting my tongue and biding my time for now and hoping the actions by Washington state officials do help and hoping that thousands of us in the Evergreen State will be returning to the woods and onto the water before April passes us by. This week on the show, we've got some great guests on tap, sure to take your mind off all things coronavirus related. Will Brantley, the hunting editor of Field & Stream magazine, has got some great advice for you about how to team up with a buddy and tag team some turkeys this spring. We'll pitch a couple of scenarios at him and get his take on how he'd bag a gobbler under the circumstances we give him. We'll also talk to T. Edward Nickens, editor-at-large for Field & Stream magazine, about a very unique duck hunt to one of the least likely destinations you'd imagine for a waterfowling road trip. That would be the state of New Mexico, with stops in Roswell and the town of Truth and Consequences along the way. Nickens has a great story to share about this expedition he enjoyed with his buddy Greg Powell, and I think you're going to like hearing it. Finally, if you're home, bored, and looking for something to do, check out the latest edition of the Backcountry Journal, the official publication of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. You can do so for free. That's right, no charge right now. And editor Zach Williams will join us to share some of his favorite pieces from the spring edition. During this time of the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of folks are really stressed. A lot of folks are just downright scared. And we thought this would be the perfect time to get a survival expert on the show. His name, in this case, is Brett Stoffel. He is the president of Emergency Response International and Outdoor Safe. You can find out more about his company at OutdoorSafe.com. Brett, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
So, Brett, I marked down my calendar March 16th. That was the day that, as a nation, we really started going into this whole lockdown mode. And as you know, a lot of states have issued these stay-at-home orders. A lot of folks are cooped up. A lot of folks, like I said, are scared. It seems like forever. It's hard to believe it's only been a couple of weeks that we've been living through this. What's the mindset that is important for people to have in what really is becoming a survival situation for some?
Yeah, you know, one of the primary aspects of survival in any kind of situation that you find yourself in, you know, we call it PMA or positive mental attitude. It doesn't necessarily mean positive in terms of big smile on your face and telling yourself, boy, this is sure fun and I'm enjoying myself, but positive in terms of taking positive steps towards taking care of yourself. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. Your requirements, your needs, all the things that you should be doing are the same no matter what. It's just every situation, emergency situation, difficulty, however you want to put it together, it always comes back to the same thing. My body's requirements, my mind's requirements, those things. So, I mean, the mindset is, what is it that I need to do to stay healthy, to stay with it? And that's the focus that people should have. I mean, one of the survival situations is not particularly pleasant, but it's one of those things, you know, survival in captivity, for example. Those are the primary concerns that you look at there, the positive aspects of taking care of yourself. So things, and that's the challenge. So can I focus on my family and my health, my mental health, my physical health, and maintaining that in the situation that we find ourselves in?
Well, let's talk about some of the things people should not be doing right now as we go through this as a nation. I'm guessing being glued to the TV 24/7 is probably one of those things that you don't recommend.
Well, yeah. So that's the, you know, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. You want to know what is going on, and the compelling nature of this whole process, that things are, you know, you have a tendency to say, okay, what's the next piece of news? What's the next thing that's going to be coming up? Sitting there glued to the TV and watching the sensationalism, the bad news, so to speak, probably not something that's super beneficial. I mean, that's not to say you want to not be aware of what's going on, but, you know, force yourself to maybe get an update at the end of the day, or maybe even take a day or two and then get an update, as opposed to every 15 minutes or even worse than that, continuously.
Oh, yeah. And it's gotten to the point where on cable news, they actually have almost a running tally of how many people are infected, how many people have died, both nationwide and worldwide. You know, and you're just watching that go up through the day. That is really messing with your brain, folks. This is not a thing that you should be focused on. I think you hit the nail on the head. Once a day is probably plenty to get the news that you need. Let's talk about some things you'd recommend people do to go ahead and cope with this from both a mental and physical sense.
Yeah, you know, it's staying away from people because we're all in this together and it's the responsible thing to do. But at the same time, taking care of yourself in a way that's appropriate. So going outside and getting outside, focusing on something, you know, taking care of your property, doing some yard work. We do have, you know, spring has definitely sprung, at least around here. And so getting out in some fresh air, doing a little bit of exercise and taking care of yourself that way is absolutely beneficial. And it's amazing the results of that. So, you know, the endorphins and your body's reaction, those are all fantastic as well.
A lot of folks have been stockpiling, you know, especially toilet paper. I'd love to get your thoughts on the psychology of toilet paper stockpiling. But what are some things people really actually should be getting in their house during this emergency?
Well, you know, this isn't completely my wheelhouse, but it's one of those things, the psychology of it, being human myself. People have a tendency under stress to do things that make them feel better. It's something they have control over. So when you have control over stockpiling, it kind of feeds that need to take care of something in the future that's uncertain. And unfortunately, just responding to that nature is something that drives people to do something that's a little bit silly, like stockpile a couple of years worth of toilet paper. And, you know, the downside of all of that on the stockpiling side is it has a tendency to be wasteful. So that's not beneficial to somebody who actually may need some of those materials. So on the stockpiling side, it's one thing to be prepared and to have enough, but then to have, you know, multiples of enough is something to stay away from. So that would be the biggest piece of advice that I could say is, you know, get what you need. Our supply chains are doing pretty well. As far as society is concerned, grocery stores are considered essential. Hardware stores are even considered essential. So there hasn't been huge shortfalls in things other than, like we said, the hand sanitizer and toilet paper, like you mentioned.
All right. So parting shot here. I mean, obviously social distancing is key. Everyone knows that. But what are some recommendations you would give for people from a mental mindset point of view as we leave today?
Focus on the positive. Focus on the things that you do have control over. And rather than focusing on something you have no control over, do things for yourself that are beneficial. And it's not difficult to come up with that. It's one of those, focus on your family and those things that are immediately under your control in a positive way. Those things that you're doing are going to make your immediate benefit, I guess, is the best way to kind of look at that. And that would be the advice that I could give. Keep that positive attitude. Hey, this is going to help me. This is going to be good. That's why I'm going to do it.
There you go. Take a deep breath, folks. Everything is going to be okay. If you want to find out more about what Brett is offering as the president of Emergency Response International and the president of Outdoor Safe, just go to his website, outdoorsafe.com. There's a lot to unpack there and a lot that I think you'll find valuable. Brett, thanks for joining us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Absolutely.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Honey, why are you suited up for a football game? Where'd the tackling sled come from?
Preparing for a car dealership trip.
Take that mouth guard out and get over here. All you have to do is use CarProUSA.com.
So I don't need a helmet and pads?
Just log on to CarProUSA.com and you'll have all the protection you need. No more hassle, haggle, or games. And lose the cleats. They're ruining my hardwood floor.
CarProUSA.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got a great guest for you, and he is one of the editors at large for Field & Stream magazine. His name, T. Edward Nickens, also known as Eddie Nickens. He's got a great story in the On the Road edition of Field & Stream that's on the newsstands now, called The Outer Limits. It's a story about a duck hunting road trip to a very unlikely state with a close friend. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eddie, it's great to hear your voice again. It's been far too long. I love this article, but I'll tell you what, New Mexico is one of the most unlikely duck hunting destinations for a road trip. I was actually talking to someone who wrote for Realtree and listed New Mexico as one of the worst states in the nation for duck hunting, at least in the Central Flyway, because, you know, I think they harvested less than 38,000 ducks there in 2018. Why did you decide to go to New Mexico for a duck hunting expedition?
Well, it's funny, because I guess one of the reasons that we went to New Mexico was for all of the reasons that you just outlined. You know, it is off the beaten path for waterfowlers, no question about it, John. But the other reason was I wanted to hunt with my buddy James Powell, who is National Director of Communications for DU. But James and I have been good friends for a long time. And James actually grew up in that region in New Mexico and learned to love to duck hunt in the middle of this desert environment. He and I have been talking about this for several years, sort of retracing the refuges and the wet spots that he used to duck hunt as a kid with his dad and his stepdad. So altogether, it just made for an unusual take. We rolled the dice. We lost the game on some perspectives in terms of number of birds, but we just had an incredible trip. I think it turned out, really happy with the way the story turned out to be about a whole lot more than what's in the bag.
I agree. And folks, this really is a great read of a story. I've got to admit, if you are going to go to a place like New Mexico, James Powell, with his background in New Mexico as a waterfowl biologist, is probably the guy to go with, especially since he's so well connected with Ducks Unlimited. So that's your partner in crime. You head to New Mexico. Where did you go hunting exactly in New Mexico? You actually went to three different places, didn't you?
Yeah, we sort of bounced around that Roswell, Truth of Consequences area, stopping at some refuges along the way, some state parks, some national wildlife refuges. You know, there's two big river systems down there, John, the Rio Grande and the Pecos. And they include these huge wetland watershed areas. You know, you think of ducks flying down south, they're going to fly as far as they can go. Well, for a lot of these ducks, this is sort of the end of the road. You've got these big rivers, you've got these big marshes that back up to the big desert mountains, and that's it. So they sort of stay there and stack up there and bop between these refuges, Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge, some refuges, Bitter Lakes over near Roswell. So we sort of did that same kind of thing. We bopped between some state park refuges, some national wildlife refuges, and tried to pin these birds down.
You know, one thing besides the hunting was the road trip itself. And you got to take in some interesting views and some interesting places. I mean, Roswell, it goes without saying, is of great interest if you're into UFO conspiracy theories. But what were some of the other places in New Mexico outside of the duck hunting experience that got your attention along the way?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, we're in the Southwest and there's great food there. We had a couple of great meals at a place called the Owl Cafe, which is this hole-in-the-wall kind of burger, beer, biker joint that gets rave reviews from road trippers. That was an awesome spot. You know, you mentioned the Roswell and the UFOs. A super cool thing that happened was James, his father's best friend, still works as an executive at the International UFO Museum there in Roswell. So we got inside, by you know, behind the scenes, you know, draw back the curtain look at the Roswell Museum, which was just awesome. And that whole scene of everything going on there in Roswell with the aliens and spaceships, and it was super cool. You know, but there's so many great things about a road trip. You know, you just find these little off the wall places and something catches your eye. You know, we went to the Smokey the Bear National Monument, I believe it was. I mean, this is where the Smokey the Bear,
right,
was found, was rescued, and was taken back and buried when he passed away. And what a cool little thing right there to see. Some great old shootout historic sites with gunslingers, and it was great. I mean, it's tough when you're duck hunting because, you know, duck hunting, especially do-it-yourself road trip duck hunting, is very time intensive. You're hunting, you're scouting, you're driving from spot to spot. But we did try to take as much time as we can and pull off the road and see all these cool satellites that that New Mexico has to offer.
You know, your first trip that you talk about in this article was with a guide. It went pretty well. And after that, you were on DIY mode. And one thing that caught my eye was the limitations of using Google Maps for scouting didn't quite translate like you thought it was going to when you got on the ground, did you?
You know, and part of that is that arid desert environment. But it is kind of funny. You know, I sit here in my office in North Carolina and pull up OnX and pull up Google Maps and go, oh, you know, that looks like a great spot. I think we can get there here. We could take this trail and pick up this creek. We can walk into this cattail swamp. And then 1,800 miles away at 3 o'clock in the morning, you just ask yourself, what on earth was I thinking? we had a few moments where we were just totally befuddled as to where we were, where the water was, where it was supposed to be. But that's part of the fun of it. You know, you just kind of get after it and stay after it. And just like with duck hunting everywhere and duck hunting anywhere, you know, the harder you go, the better your chances of success.
This is true. Last question. What's your best memory from this trip?
You know, I think it was this moment that had nothing to do with duck hunting. It was this moment where James and his father's best friend were parting in Roswell. They hadn't seen each other in years. Who knows when or if they'd ever see each other again. And they had this just connection that transcended duck hunting. It transcended time. It transcended the fact that we were so far from home. And to think that the pursuit of waterfowl opens the door to these kinds of connections, to me, was just a very special thing. It was very special to be there with James as he was traveling sort of the road of his childhood, and to see him to make these connections, and all because we're chasing a duck. To me, that was that was really meaningful.
That's a great way to end this, folks. You've got to read this story. Again, it's called The Outer Limits. You'll find it in the current edition of Field & Stream, which is full of great stories about wild friendships and road trips like the one you just heard about. I'll leave it to you to read the story and find out exactly how the hunting went. That is worth a read in and of itself. But in the meantime, Eddie, thank you so much for the time. Thanks so much for sharing this road trip with us on America Outdoors Radio.
Always a pleasure, John. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to ensure North America's outdoor heritage of hunting and fishing. Lend your voice to the fight by visiting backcountryhunters.org and join the 25,000 men and women who have pledged to defend wildlife and public access.
Honey?
Uh-huh?
Did you order a Ninja?
I did. Headed to the car dealership. Need all the help I can get.
Don't be silly. Look on my phone here. All you have to do is use CarProUSA.com.
Oh, wow. So I won't have to battle over price?
Nope. With CarProUSA.com, you'll work all that out beforehand. Then go pick up our new car in about 90 minutes or less.
Maybe I can use this guy to get my tools back from Dave.
CarProUSA.com.
Kokanee, indeed. That's what my family says every time they catch a delicious Kokanee salmon. And we're reeling them in today. We're trolling spinners, crop dusters, or my personal favorite mini squids behind Dodgers made by Christensen's Lakeshore Tackle. Tested at Flaming Gorge Reservoir, Lakeshore Tackle will catch kokanee wherever you're fishing. Look for Lakeshore Tackle at Sportsman's Warehouse, Cabela's, and Shields, or online at lakeshoretackle.com. Kokanee, indeed, at lakeshoretackle.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Springtime is here, and that means it's time to talk spring turkey. And what better person to chat with than Will Brantley, the hunting editor for Field & Stream, who's got a great article about turkey hunting with your buddy in this latest edition of the magazine. Will, great to have you back on the air.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Will, the whole premise of your article is go hunting with a buddy and increase your chances of bagging a gobbler or two. I like this because just about everything I ever read about turkey hunting focuses on the individual turkey hunter. I don't ever think I've seen an article before that basically talks about tag teaming turkeys.
Well, there are a lot of good strategies that you can employ when you are hunting with a buddy. And, you know, I probably do most of my turkey hunting alone. And I think a lot of serious turkey hunters would concur. But when you find another turkey hunter who you really work well with and you hunt well together, not only is it more fun to be out there with somebody, some of the strategies you can use can be pretty effective, too.
Well, let's run through some of those strategies, and we're going to set them up with scenarios, just like you've done in the article. And I'm just going to read right from the article and the scenarios you have. The first one is called the early season hangup. You and your buddy have been scouting a flock of turkeys coming to the same field every day during the week before the opener. There's a tom, a few jakes, and a dozen hens, and they always wind up in the northeast corner of the field after fly down. So, you're waiting there in a ground blind with a jake and three hen decoys at first light. Slam dunk, right? Except the turkeys don't follow the script. Instead, they pitch into the field, stand out of range, and stare at your spread for a while, ignoring your calls, and then they just walk the other way back into the woods. So, what do you do the next day when you go back?
Well, you know, as you can imagine with a situation this specific, it came from a real hunt that some buddies and I had in Nebraska last year. And it was kind of a pretty typical early season situation where you do a lot of times see bigger flocks of birds together. You know, you'll see a gobbler strutting with several hens and several jakes. And a lot of times earlier in the year, there's a lot of the actual breeding takes place at that time, really kind of before the birds split off and disperse and the hens go to nest. And what you'll run into, you'll see turkeys come into the same spot in the field every day, and you do think, man, if I just get in there and set up and set my decoys up and put up a blind, you know, I'm bound to kill one of them. But those birds are coming into that field every day, and, you know, yeah, I mean, I think as a general rule, turkeys aren't usually spooked by ground blinds, but if they see something new in a field that they've been coming to every day and this spread of decoys there that's not moving, even though it may not spook them, they may get suspicious of it. And that is a situation a lot of times where birds just may not come into your setup. And in a way, you've almost kind of overplayed your hand. And so I think the best thing to do there is remember that, you know, hey, even though those turkeys aren't coming in, they're not necessarily spooked. And the best thing you can do to start with is just to sit there and leave them alone. And you might have to sit there and let those turkeys clear the field. They're going to move off somewhere. Now, they may be there for a while after fly down, strutting and picking around and doing their thing. Once they're gone, one of the best things that you can do, and you can either do this the next morning or maybe that afternoon, pull that blind out, pull your decoys out, and make that spot as natural as you can. And probably one hunter needs to stay in that spot where you first set up, because that's where your scouting has shown that they want to be. And chances are pretty good that if they feel comfortable, they're going to come back there.
Right.
But that hunter, the one hunter probably needs to stay right there. And then the other hunter needs to keep a close eye on where the turkeys leave the field. You know, turkeys are kind of creatures of habit. They'll a lot of times enter and exit a field in the same general area. And so it's a good move for the other hunter to make a move and kind of set up to maybe intercept them as they're coming back to that field. And you might try sticking out like a single Jake decoy, maybe a single hen decoy, something that's a little more subtle, and just see if you can get that Tom's attention as he's coming back into the field. And, you know, if you kind of split up, and in a way you double your odds. So that's a really good way to kind of kill one of those field birds that seems like he's a creature of habit, but when you go to take advantage of it, you know, he doesn't follow the script. So you change things up on him a little bit.
And I'm guessing this worked in Nebraska?
It did. It worked like a charm. So we actually ended up killing two turkeys that way. So,
all right. We've got time for another scenario. And I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this one. The property line strutter. You and your partner have been hearing a gobbler since daylight, and you finally spot him pulled up in a cattle pasture with a hen. Problem is, it's the neighbor's pasture where you don't have permission to hunt. To kill that Tom, you need to coax him back over to your ground. What do you do?
This was another one that happened last year in Florida. It was on my first hunt of the year. And yeah, I mean, this obviously happens all the time. You know, you got a bird that's hung up out in the neighbor's field, and you can't get him to come to you. And this is a technique that doesn't always work, but it's the only one that I know of. Well, it probably works the most consistently of anything that I've tried. And so hopefully you've pre-scouted the area ahead of time and you know a place in this fence where a turkey is likeliest to cross. And, you know, a turkey will very rarely fly over a fence to come to you. I mean, they can. It's not to say that they don't. But most of the time, they prefer to squeeze under it. So if there's a low spot in the ground where they can squeeze under the barbed wire, or, you know, a spot where the wire is down, that's the likeliest spot for a turkey to cross. And if you've got a bird that's out there in a pasture with hens, that's probably a bird that you can challenge, his dominance, and he, you know, there's a good chance that he's going to respond to it. But what's hard to do is to just sit up next to the edge of the fence, because you call him up to the edge of the fence and then he stops on the other side of it and you still can't shoot him across it, even though he's in gun range. And
right.
So what works out well in this situation is for the shooter to actually set up 10, 15, 20 yards back behind the fence. And this is one of those things that, you know, you really got to emphasize safety in this situation, obviously. The person who's going to be doing the shooting, their shotgun needs to be laying on the ground, pointed the opposite way for this. And because of what the buddy is getting ready to do is going to explain why. But you take a strutter decoy, one of the ones that's kind of hollowed out in the back, like I don't know, like a Mojo Scoot and Shoot, or a Flextone Thunder Chicken, one of the decoys that's made for, you know, reaping in an open field. And obviously, anytime you're doing this, you want to be extra careful. But assuming you're in a safe area where it's open, you're not worried about other hunters in the area maybe mistaking you for a gobbler, your buddy then can take that reaper decoy and crawl toward the gap in the fence and do some calling, get that strutter's attention, and move that decoy around, make it look like a strutting gobbler. And once you have that bird coming, and you can tell when they're, you know, when they're liking it and they're going to come, usually their head's going to turn kind of a bright white and they'll blow up and strut and start coming. As that bird is coming to you, the guy working the decoy just kind of starts crawling backwards and keeps crawling backwards. And very often that movement looks pretty realistic, and a lot of times you can pull that turkey right through that fence gap. And ideally you time it so that when, as you're coming back, you know, you then get in a spot where your buddy's safe to shoot. He can work his gun into position and take the shot, and you can bag the bird. It worked like a charm on that turkey in Florida last year, except that we were trying to film the hunt for an online story, and by the time we got back, we could have killed the turkey, but we couldn't get it on camera, so we had to let it go. But it was it definitely worked out, and it was a lot of fun to see that happen.
Well, those are some great tactics for some pretty common scenarios. And folks, if you want to read about some more scenarios and more tactics to use to bag a gobbler this spring, just pick up the On the Road edition of Field and Stream. It's the latest edition. It's in stores now. It's on news shelves and magazine shelves now. It features wild friendships and adventures in the field and on the water. Again, it's the latest copy of Field and Stream. Check out this great article by Will Brantley and all sorts of other great information in there too. Will, always a pleasure to have you on America Outdoors Radio.
Absolutely. I enjoy it. Thank you.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
How's the fishing?
If you could parachute a boat into this backcountry lake, it would be great. There's plenty of trout jumping out there, but I can't cast to them from the shore. Hey, what's that?
You may not be able to airdrop a boat here, but with Wilderness Light, you can pack an ultra-light float tube in. This float tube, including the pump and fins, weighs less than 5 pounds and are compact enough to fit in my day pack. Order your Wilderness Light Ultralight Float Tube at WildernessLightFloatTubes.com.
WildernessLightFloatTubes.com?
WildernessLightFloatTubes.com. Get out where the fish are without the wait.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Kokanee, indeed. That's what my family says every time they catch a delicious Kokanee salmon, and we're reeling them in today. We're trolling spinners, crop dusters, or my personal favorite, mini squids, behind Dodgers made by Christensen's Lakeshore Tackle. Tested at Flaming Gorge Reservoir, Lakeshore Tackle will catch Kokanee wherever you're fishing. Look for Lakeshore Tackle at Sportsman's Warehouse, Cabela's, and Shields, or online at lakeshoretackle.com. Kokanee, indeed, at lakeshoretackle.com.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got another great guest on the line for you. It's Zach Williams. He's the editor of the Backcountry Journal, the official publication of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John.
So, Zach, I understand that Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and folks, if you're not aware of this organization, it's a great one. I've been a member for years. It is about 40,000 people plus strong, and we are dedicated, I say we because I'm part of this too, we are dedicated to maintaining recreational opportunities on our public lands, especially hunting, especially fishing, and access as well. And Zach is the editor of a journal that talks about all these activities on public land. You are making the spring edition free of the Backcountry Journal for anyone to read. All you have to do is go online at backcountryhunters.org to do so. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, John, you know, the current world situation, a lot of people are stuck at home. So we wanted to give them an opportunity to read some inspiring outdoor stories and maybe offer up a little bit of reprieve from the news and the world situation.
Well, I'll tell you what, Zach, you know, the Backcountry Journal, great publication. You're the latest in a long line of editors who's been basically putting this out for about 10 years now. And usually, folks, you have to be a member of BHA to read this. But I really love this edition. It is jam-packed with content. I mean, you've got story after story after story. And I thought we'd just talk about some of them that speak to you. A lot of hunting stories in there. Are there any in particular that stand out for you?
Absolutely, John. There's a story we have called Always Show Up, Never Give Up, authored by Dan Crockett. And it's a story of the life of Tony Shunin, who was a conservation warrior here in Montana. He was a hunter, a longtime fishing guide. And Tony was just, he was an incredible guy who stood up for the places that he loved and for blue-collar people being able to get out and hunt and fish. So he worked on a lot of key conservation battles, water access rights, and opportunity. And Tony just stood up for these places that he loved. And a lot of his victories, conservation victories in Montana, then applied and impacted access rights and opportunity elsewhere in the country. So he's just kind of a role model for everybody who wants to stand up and protect the places they love.
Well, sounds like a great read. And again, that's just one of the hunting and conservation stories you're going to find in there. But in addition to hunting stories, you've got some fishing ones too.
Oh, yeah. We've got a story of kids getting out in Wisconsin, a great story from Pyramid Lake. And my personal favorite in the issue is a story called Bring My Ashes Here that takes place in Utah. And it's about three generations of a family visiting a wilderness lake, fishing, exploring, and just passing down these traditions from one generation to the next. And every time I read it, it moves me and inspires me to do the same with my family.
Boy, you know, I literally have the latest issue. I just got it in the mail. Haven't had a chance to read it. I think that's going to be the first story I go to. It sounds fantastic. Leafing through it, though. Haven't read through it, but I have leafed through it. I noticed you've got a couple of stories about field to table. Basically, the food you harvest, bringing it to the kitchen, bringing it to the table, making it taste great. What's one that really spoke to you? I'm guessing it might be about mushrooms.
Yeah, renowned chef and hunter-gatherer Hank Shaw did an article on for us about morel hunting and how to locate morel mushrooms and harvest them safely, and then includes a few tips on cooking them up. So Hank's kind of a legend in the outdoor cooking field, so it was an honor to have him involved in this issue, and the morel piece is timely with spring coming up here.
Hank, he is an absolute legend. I've had him on the air several times. And folks, if you haven't picked up his books, Duck, Duck, Goose, Buck, Buck, Moose, or Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail, you are missing out on serving up some great wild game at your table. I'd love to talk more about the many articles you've got in there, but folks, you can check them out yourself. All you have to do is go to backcountryhunters.org. That's the website for backcountry hunters and anglers. Just look for the tab you're going to find on the front page where you get a free online read of the Backcountry Journal. I suspect you're going to love it so much, you're going to want to join this great organization. Doesn't cost much to do so. And when you join, you are adding your voice to the fight to conserve and protect our public lands so that you can fish and hunt on, not just for your generation, but the next ones as well. Zach, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me, John.
On another note, if you want to hear podcasts of this show, you can do so at several locations to include Podbean, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And you can also do so on our Facebook page. You'll find that at America Outdoors Radio. One very popular interview that we aired was an interview with Kelly Susswin, the director of the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, about why he decided to shut down recreational fishing in Washington State. We were actually the first media outlet to interview Director Susswind about this, and we pushed it out as a podcast last week. Just one of the reasons you might want to like and follow our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. And if you need another reason, we are doing a giveaway. Next Sunday, we will give away a guided field sharpener from WorkSharp. It's worth $35. I've got one myself. Use it all the time to sharpen my pocket knives, and I bet you'll love it too. And you've got a chance to win it just by going to our Facebook page, liking and following it. Go to the post thread where we're doing the giveaway and let us know what city and state you're from. That's all you have to do for a chance to win. One final note, let's be honest, this pandemic is brutal for our sponsors who bring us a show. I consider it a privilege to be on the air with you every weekend to share the great outdoors with you, but I can't do it without sponsor support. So I hope you'll consider supporting the small and mid-sized businesses that support our program. This includes both our national and Pacific Northwest Edition sponsors. They include Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska, offering fishing trips and once-in-a-lifetime family or group awesome wilderness experiences. You can find out more about those at alaskasbestlodge.com. There's Christensen's Lakeshore Tackle based in northern Utah. Colton Christensen and his crew make some of the best kokanee and trout lures and dodgers you are going to find on the market. Another company that makes some very, very good fishing tackle is Max Lure. They make both trout and kokanee lures too, and a whole lot more to include lures, flashers, and accessories for salmon and some of the best walleye offerings on the market. If you're looking for a place to fish, well, I can tell you that once they open up fishing on the Columbia River again in the Pacific Northwest, you'll want to head to the Dalles, Oregon. It's your perfect base camp for a fishing adventure with a great location from where you can strike out every day to go fishing for your choice of salmon, steelhead, walleye, sturgeon, bass, trout, and more, and then come back to town every night to resupply, enjoy a great dinner and drinks, and get a comfortable night's sleep before you do it again. We can't forget XL Fishing Charters operating out of Nia Bay on Washington State's Olympic Peninsula. Their fishing is shut down right now, but when they open again, you'll want to go fishing with Tom Burlingame for lingcod, rockfish, halibut, or salmon, and stay at the Inn at Nia Bay. Another great place to stay is Mardon Resort. They're located at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir, and this is the place to go for sunshine, beach time, boating, RV camping, and most of all, relaxing, family fun, and great fishing. They may be closed right now, but when they open again, you'll want to be there. Find out more at mardonresort.com, where the fish bite, but we don't. Last, but definitely not least, Sportsman's Warehouse. They are America's premier outfitter, and stores are open across most of America, though hours may be limited, and in some cases, they are restricting how many folks can come into a store at any given time. Got to maintain that social distance, you know. Having said that, if you are looking for fishing and hunting gear, guns or ammos, or anything else for the outdoors, go to sportsmans.com/hours and find out more about the Sportsman's Warehouse store near you. Times are tough. Times are really tough in America right now. But you know what? As a person who loves to fish, hunt, or spend time outdoors, I've got news for you. So are you. Our country wasn't built on people who just roll over and give up when adversity strikes us. No, our country was built on people who roll with the punches, get back on their feet, and keep going, because we are looking at better days ahead. We've got to get through this tough time, but we will get there. And I hope you can find some relief between now and then in nature, whether it be fishing, whether it be turkey hunting, whether it be hiking, whether it be camping, in places, of course, where it's legal to do so, and in places where you are limiting your COVID-19 footprint. Don't spread it to other communities, but I do understand the need to get outdoors. I'll be praying for you again this week, and I hope you'll send a few prayers towards my family as well. Until next week, do me a favor, stay well, and if you get a chance, get outside. After all, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.